Welcome to Spooning. This is edition 8 of semester 2 in our final, well, most of our final semesters here at St. Olaf. My name is Dan Hagen. Welcome, Ryan McElrath, to the studio. It's been a while. Noah Ford, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
So we're looking to start the show as we normally do, talk about some highs and lows. I have some right off the bat, if you guys wouldn't mind
me going first.
Wow.
Go for it.
All right.
So my low goes back to Monday. And you'd think, you know, Monday, that's far away. It must be a really, like, memorable low. Well, it was, listeners. It was. I was in the cafeteria. I was trying to find food. It was one of those days, you know, as a senior, it's inevitable that you're going to have days in the caf where it's just like nothing looks good. As good as Bon App is, just, you know, it's been 4 years and it gets a little old. So I'm going around and I notice, oh, there's veggie pizza. That looks really great. I'm going to grab that slice. So I go to grab the slice and no plates underneath.
Oh, always.
So okay,
always.
Whatever.
That's a good one.
Whatever. I'll go grab a plate and I'll come back. So I grab a plate. I come back, and a girl from my statistics course just grabs the last slice of veggie pizza. I left, and there's like three slices. I come back, there's one, and the girl just snags, and I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I had dibs on this piece of pizza. I went to grab a plate, and I think this piece is rightfully mine. And she's like, well, like I went to grab a plate too, so we're both even there. I was pretty upset after that, and I took a couple moments just to kind of recollect myself. Then I finally get my food in order, and I'm walking down the center aisle of the cafeteria, and I'm looking for a spot. I'm like, oh, a circle table, that would be nice. So my friend and I, we walk towards the circle table, and there's this person in front of us the whole way. It's Pizza Girl. She's walking right in front of us, and the closer and closer we get to the circle table, the more nervous I get that, wow, she can't be gunning for this table, too. Alas, we get to the circle table, and she sat down right before us. If I wouldn't have argued about the pizza, I would have had those 5 second advantage over her, and I would have been able to snag a seat. Unfortunately, I did not. So my night was ruined, and I just went to bed and laid down because I figured you can't rebound from that. You know, some nights you just got to call it.
Agreed.
You ever have nights like that, McElrath, or it's just like
almost every night
you can't study. Like, there's no point.
Yes.
I think resting is almost as productive as studying. Sometimes. It's just the thing that really grinds my gears is when I'm like trying to study and I can't. Like, that is a complete waste of time. But when you're like laying in your bed looking at the ceiling, just like total relaxation, I feel like that's at least a little productive.
Yeah. The issue with that I have sometimes, and I guess this can be my low for the week,
sure,
is that I have some issues with, I guess, like, starting some work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had a nice paper for my history class in Edward Pompeian's class. And I didn't start working on it until Monday night. Monday morning, I should say. I was supposed to start at Sunday afternoon, but I sometimes, I'm not exactly in that mood to start working, and I just kind of in this lull of just either just pacing around my room or like just wasting time and like looking at cute dog videos on like Instagram.
Oh, the best.
They are the best. I agree. But it's okay. I've had better things go on this week.
Okay.
Can
I sneak in my high?
I didn't know you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I still got the high.
Wow.
It's a rather short one. Today in the bag lunch line, they had like double chocolate cookies. And, you know, just, you know, I took it without the second thought. You know, just a normal double chocolate cookie. Upon inspection at around noon, it wasn't just a double chocolate cookie, but it was like chocolate with like white chocolate. Did anyone else get the same cookie?
I had this very cookie today.
I had the cookie and it was spectacular.
Really?
Like, it was the best cookie I've ever had. And I know that may sound like a hyperbole, but I really do mean it. Like, I bit into it. It melted in my mouth. It was just a great like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I like didn't eat any food. I was like halfway through my lunch. I like didn't eat any food, just like savor that flavor for like another like 30 minutes.
Wow.
Just because it, like, do you guys agree? Like, I thought it was really good cookie.
And I hadn't had breakfast, and I got the cookie, and I just like reached past the PB&Js in my bag and pulled out the loud plastic bag of the cookie and just went to town.
Yeah.
And it was the first thing I had to eat in, like, 18 hours.
Okay.
Are you guys a fan of white chocolate?
Not normally. I would never seek out white chocolate.
Mm-hmm, but just
but it was just about that... It's just about the combination. Like, it was... It had enough, like, chocolate in it. Like, the chocolate... The cookie itself was chocolate.
Yeah.
And it paired so well. And just the texture. I can't... We should move on.
It sounds like they complemented each other very well.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
So, that was my low and high of the week. You can go
ahead. That's awesome. So, yeah, I sort of said my low. I'm sorry for cutting you off. I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
But my high, I had... I'm a part of this group called the Trio Mentoring Program, where I, for the last year, I've been sending letters to two kids in the Washburn High School.
Aww.
And yesterday was the last field trip of the year where they come to St. Olaf. We show them around and just have a nice, like, last day together. And so... Even though it was a little bit cold outside, the spirits were high, and I had a great time with both my kids, Tristan and Giovanni. So
those kids come in force too. Like you're trying to, I was trying to get the stairs today, and they just like, you know how at St. Olaf it's very customary to like walk on the right side of the stairs as if it's like a road.
Mm-hmm.
They just had both sides of the stairs, and we're just kind of like waddling up them.
I was
in a little bit of a hurry to get this chocolate cookie that we're talking about before I headed stats. And so I'm not going to get mad at these like middle schoolers. Oh, I have a really bad radar for age, by the way. But so I just was like walking behind them.
Did you just like wait to let them pass like the wall?
Oh, I just kind of like they took like a slow right turn up to the calf stairs. So I just like sprinted around them to get up to the bag lunch line. And then I was late for stats. So.
Okay.
So your high was my low, by the way.
But yeah, I've never
Ryan's
seen...
High was mentoring young children, and those low was... like those young children.
The weeks leading up, like in the letters, I always try to like talk or ask them like, hey, what are you like looking forward to at St. Olaf? And every single like time, it was the calf food. I can't wait to eat at the calf because I guess we are ranked nationally in, I guess, the best food. And... when we went to the calf, like, both my kids, like, they got trays filled with, like, the pizza, the pasta. Like, their eyes were much larger than their stomachs. But then, like, after they finished, like, one round of, like, all this food, they went back, got more, got, like, 3-4 cookies. They were just rolling around in, like, fantastic foods. And just, like, they were in bliss. That's what I'm trying to say.
I feel them, too, because, like, the complaints at my public school cafeteria versus here are just worlds apart.
Right.
Like at my school, it was like, oh, sorry, we ran out of the main course. Like, there's no more chicken nuggets. Here's a cup of applesauce. Like, great. And then you get here and it's like, where's the apricot chutney?
Yeah.
Like,
like, why is there no guacamole today?
How could they just take a hiatus?
Why did you only have those 3 flavors of hot sauces? Wanted Cholula.
I remember, I don't want to attribute this to Hayden, but someone one day looked at me and was like, how'd you get a PB&J? Like, where were they giving those out? And I was like, you mean like the bread, peanut butter, and jelly that like I put together? Like, it was worlds like away from them that they could have like made a PB&J.
I feel like that's like a St. Olaf in a nutshell.
Yeah, it just
like,
summed up so many things for me. So I never hate the calf just because of, you know, where I came from.
Where were they handing out PB&Js? That's so great. Oh, man.
That's close.
So, Ryan, are you finished?
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't thought of a high or low yet. Cal, would you like to go?
Sure.
Give me some time.
So my high from this week was music-related, I think. There was 3 fantastic performances that I got to witness / participate in. 2 from the Flame Pie, and I'll let Dan talk about more about that later if he wants to. And then I also saw my former roommate's senior recital, Henry Huber, on the percussion, absolutely killing it. He's got a mean Stevens technique where they got the 2 mallets in each hand playing on the piano-like percussion instruments, like the xylophone.
Your knowledge of... Oh, okay.
Yeah. didn't Wikipedia that or anything.
Piano-like percussion thing.
Two mallet each hand equals what? And then, let's see, my low. I guess my low would have to be that I tweaked my back playing basketball. So I went to a store and got some Icy Hot. So our room has been periodically smelling like mint for the last few days.
Mm. It's a great smell.
I'm using the foam roller. Yeah. So just a minor setback, though. Only be out for like 6 to 8 weeks. So
it's all right. Is it my turn now?
Actually, not.
My other high, I would say, is I was watching. I watched a VHS today, a documentary.
Like, and I on like, a VHS tape.
Yeah, and like I didn't like know like how to put it in. Like I was trying to put it in like sideways, and then I realized you know it'd probably make more sense like lengthwise. And then like I was like trying to rewind it, and it just like wouldn't work. And like the tape was all like mangled. It was just like, it was just a blast of the past. All right, so that was the high and low segment. Next segment.
Well, I mean, I don't want to break up the flow now.
No. Oh, sorry.
We want to hear from Noah. Yeah, we want to hear from Noah.
Well, first off, just in response to Cal, if you ever want to look dumb, just go back through like your Google searches. Because the way you like everyone words their Google searches is always just so like third grader like.
Just the most direct of questions.
Yeah.
You try to make it as general as possible, just so you can like.
No matter like, how many times they show us that library presentation where they show you how to search things, like type in and or like asterisk something. It's always just the same. Ask the exact question you want. Absolutely no finesse. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Yahoo Answers pops up right away, or else you're pretty much screwed.
Yep. Yep.
And then I also say my high. So I have a really bad trend of getting into shows way after everyone, but it's, I would say, delayed gratification. So everyone makes fun of me in my house. So I just started watching Game of Thrones.
Right.
And so, like, I'll try to have these discussions with people, like, oh my god, like, season 2 is so awesome. And my roommates would be like, season 7 is coming out. Like, we can't even converse on this level. But it has been good just to be, like, not a lot of people can say they can binge watch Game of Thrones because it's something that usually comes out weekly and they just kind of keep up with it. So I've been doing that. It's been great. Yeah, just an amazing show. And I'm reading the first book as well.
Nice. I have one last high. So as Cal mentioned, we had a show last night for Flaming Pie, $C Scratch. Again, thank you for your performing. That was great. We played 6 Beatles songs and 3 originals. Afterwards, we brought all the equipment back, and Stuart, my bassist, Tyler, the guitarist, and myself, another guitarist. We went to that new brewery. Have you guys been to that brewery next to Holiday?
It's pretty popping.
Like, I've heard a lot of things about it.
It's trending really cool. Yeah, so we went there. I got a bratwurst. It was very good. Ooh. And this band was playing, and we got to talking to them, and we were like, yeah, no, we just came from a band gig, and we were playing some Beatles covers. So they said, well, okay, you should come out and play a couple songs. So they played Norwegian Wood, a Beatles song, beautifully, just beautiful. And then we came on and played All My Loving, Day Tripper, and Hey Jude.
Wow.
So that was really fun. The fans there were like super lively. They had acoustic instruments. So it's kind of like an acoustic set, no percussion. So it's pretty interesting. But just like very spontaneous. It was a lot of fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah, like, that's great.
When did you start this band?
The Flaming Pie? This semester. Yeah, this semester.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of the semester.
And is it directed towards a Beatles cover band or?
Yeah, that's the vibe. Yeah, Beatles cover band. We're gonna. I think we'll just try to do some more crowd pleasers, no matter what the genre is. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a good, good change.
So like up it to like half C Dollar.
No, I
C Dollar. C Dollar Scratch.
And you guys
featuring
are just kind of his, like,
the Flaming Pie
band.
Backup band.
See, Dallas without a label right now, so any feature you can get would be hugely beneficial.
You know, we are getting we're getting $50 at our next gig.
Oh, whoa!
So I figured between
all proceeds going to Spooning, I heard.
So $10, I was thinking would go to each member, and then you know maybe you could get like a buck or two, or maybe at least the free meals or drinks.
You're paying
you know, anything?
You're paying $1 $1.
Then he'd been C Dallas.
C Dallas.
Yeah, he's gonna change his name. I do it for the love.
One of my friends, our friend, Nate Lunegger, he sent...
Your friend.
Okay.
Wow. That's true.
He sent out a Snapchat story yesterday of your performance.
Okay.
And actually, like, before we came down here, like, the song All My Lovin' is now, like, just repeating in my head.
Very nice.
Your vocals are excellent, I have to
Thank
say.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. So I think next for the show, I want to talk about the current state of campus, because I think this is a very unique time in my 4 years at St. Olaf. I haven't seen anything like it thus far. To catch you guys home, to catch you guys at home, to catch you guys up at home.
Nice.
Catch me up. How about that?
Third time's a charm. To catch you guys up and home, there's been frequent writings of the N-word around campus over the past couple months. And this culminated in experience with an African-American student where another student or member of the community put a note in the student's car using racial slurs. In response, the people of color on campus have been protesting, put up signs in front of Button Rock, as well as a Tuesday teach-in, as it was called. And this was pretty phenomenal, in my opinion. I couldn't even get into the Thompson 280. I couldn't even get into Thompson 280. I had
which
to watch
holds
it.
300-400
probably? Yeah, which on 300-400. I was watching it at a stream in Viking Theater, and just seeing, there was way more than like 300 or 400 people in that theater. Like, people were like sitting everywhere, standing everywhere. So I'd like to get your guys' take on, I guess, the current status of campus, if you guys have anything.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive, just for any issue, to be honest, if it's a worthwhile issue, to have 1/6 or more of your campus tuned into optional lesson about how to deal with things like race. I think it's very easy sometimes to think that, yeah, I'm comfortable with my outlook on race. You know, I don't have anything more to learn or any way to advance myself in that arena. Like, no one thinks that they're uneducated about race. But I think once you listen to these things and go to these things, you realize maybe how far off the mark you can be sometimes without even knowing it.
There's more to not being racist than not being overtly racist.
Yes.
You know, people don't realize, and I'm saying this for everyone, including myself, people don't realize the things that they do can be perceived as racist,
mm-hmm.
definitely. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, as you know, you're doing this study on microaggressions, mm-hmm. I think. This experience this week has been already changed my like way of thinking. You know, I walk around campus and I see people of color and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if they feel uncomfortable on campus and I wonder what they have to go through, and I wonder how that's different than what I have to go through here. I think it's a really good movement in that sense, in that it's more of like trying to change how people think instead of telling what people should think or telling what people should do. It's more of just like, okay, we really need to think about this critically. Just because you're perhaps liberal and perhaps educated, like you said, no, it does not mean you're not racist, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think the scariest part too, I think we learned about this in our psych class, Cal, was implicit bias. So things that you do and you're not even like seeing as mm-hmm. a bias.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you can be pretty clear with yourself, like, I'm biased towards this and that. But with implicit bias, it's just kind of, it's in you and you don't even necessarily know it. So I think things like teaching,
is that
try to bring
the,
those things to the surface.
They had the cops and like the faces would pop up and say something, and you had to click a response, and to say something not racist, it took longer because they kind of had to override the implicit bias in their own minds.
So you're like answering for yourself instinctively.
It just kind of it's definitely ingrained pretty deeply, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think from what I remember last semester, I've found this test. It's called the Implicit Associations Test, which is kind of like what you guys are talking about, like of implicit biases. And this one was towards like Black Americans. And I think from my research, I've heard like, it's like 75% of like white Americans just have like some sort of implicit bias like towards like white Americans then.
Towards black Americans or white Americans?
Prefer like white Americans over like Black Americans. And this is what I think about like this whole situation, I guess, is that it's I was trying to think of like, how do you make a campus like less racist? And
it's really hard.
It's a very difficult question or like a problem to have. But I think the whoever this coward is putting out all of these like letters, I'm not exactly sure if those are the people that like are. I mean, we would like them to change, yes, but like those are the people that aren't looking to change. It's the people that like myself, who like I believe that I'm not fully racist, but I know that that's never like that's not possible. Yeah. Like, I'm the person that needs to go out and educate myself about like the struggles and hardships of like in this case maybe like Black Americans, but like the goal is like for people of color to understand like what they're going through and like what my actions are, like how my actions affect them, and then I can make those changes to like I guess lessen their burdens. So yeah, it's people, it's the ordinary people that like are the ones that should be stepping up to try to make the change,
right?
A lot of us are hinting at the fact that at first I kind of had this mindset, like, I just wish we could catch this guy and kind of like figure this out. But in the end, it's really just a trigger for this discussion that's happening. I think if we find the guy or however many people it is tomorrow, I don't think this will or should stop.
Yeah.
So at first, I think I almost had, in a way, an implicit bias just to say, like, you know, this will solve everything if we just find a coward and get rid of him. But that's not the case.
And they kind of, in one of the programs, listed all of the previous sort of racist events that have happened before we got here. It's kind of a tendency to just be absorbed in your time, but it's not like an isolated incident. There's been several cases like before we arrived on campus and everything. So it's been something that progresses. And like Noah said, if we just find one guy and like solve that instance, it's not necessarily going to give us the answers to the bigger problem.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. When I saw those emails of like another, the N-word was written again, I, you know, I just brushed it off because it's just one person. You know, how we can't, I was kind of being stubborn that like we shouldn't let like one person dictate how this campus should move forward. But I've come to a much different conclusion now, and that that's not the point. Like you said, Noah, it's this discussion that's going on, I think, is really important, even though it's kind of one person causing it.
What makes me smile a bit almost is that the guy who did this, guy or girl, sorry, started one of the bigger discussions on race that I've seen. I don't think that was his goal when he put the N-word on, for people to bind together and talk about this.
Sure.
So, yeah, I that's one kind of irony I do like.
It's kind of timely, actually, that we're talking about this. I'll have my Walking Through Manitou segment coming up, and we'll kind of conclude with a Vietnam segment. And interestingly, there was a, I'll talk about it later, but there was kind of a day after the Kent State shootings that they had a similar kind of meeting for the campus, and 600 students attended. So I think that's kind of a cool perspective to think about that today. But that's now we're going to get started. So Walking Through Manitou will start soon. I'm going to play a song just so I can get myself oriented a little bit, but we'll be back.
Soldiers and Nixon coming Folgers and Nixon's gone in. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. Forget in Ohio. 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 Forget in Ohio.
Welcome back. That was Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. This is another edition of Walking Through Manitou. It's where we look at a couple different buildings on campus and try to tell the history of St. Olaf through that lens. Today we'll be talking about the post-war period, the post-World War II period, and the great building boom that occurred thereafter. The first building to be built in this period was Thorson Hall. Work began on Thorson Hall in the spring of 1946. Unknown to most Olies is that a ski jump used to stand on Thorson Hill. An interesting story is that at the groundbreaking of the new dorm, a couple of students standing on top of the ski jump flung a life-size dummy from the slide while a woman among them screamed at the top of her lungs. Needless to say, it startled many in the crowd. Harold Thorson himself is a very interesting character in the history of St. Olaf. The reason why the dorm is called Thorson Hall is because Thorson left the majority of his money, not to his children, but to the school, in the sole purpose of a building. One story about Thorson that I think is a story that you wouldn't hear coming from administrators of St. Olaf or even historians of St. Olaf is regarding him and the family of John Nathan Kildall, who was the second president of St. Olaf. John Nathan Kildall came from Norway, and his parents worked in Northfield as the owner of a boarding house during the first 4 years of St. Olaf, so 1874 to 1878. When 1878 rolled around, and the St. Olaf students were moving up to Manitou, there's no need for the boarding house anymore, so the Kildalls decided they were going to move west to North Dakota. They were going to get on the train, and when they were about to get on the train, Harold Thorson arrived, and he said, "You owe me $20, and you can't leave until you pay me $20. John Nathan's father, in fact, had paid Harold Thorson just a couple days ago the $20. The train was not going to leave without him, and everyone else was clamoring to go as well. So the Kildalls, the only thing they could do was sell all their stuff. So they sold all their stuff and got $20 worth, gave it to Thorson, and Thorson left them alone, and they proceeded to go west. One of John Nathan's siblings never forgave Thorson for this. Despite this experience with a very important St. Olaf benefactor, John Nathan Kildall became the second president of St. Olaf. Three more dorms that still stand today emerged in the 1950s. Hillebo Hall, honoring longtime Dean of Women Gertrude Hillebo. Kildall Hall, honoring St. Olaf's second president, as I mentioned, John Nathan Kildall. He led the college from 1899 to 1914. And Kittlesby Hall, which honored alumna Agnes Kittlesby, class of 1900, who later taught for about a decade at the school before immigrating to China, where she started a school for the children of American missionaries. Besides dorms, Bow Memorial Chapel was built in 1953. It was named after Lars Bow, who was the fourth president of the school, and he had the longest tenure as a president, and he led St. Olaf from 1918 to 1942. The last building I'll mention today is the Grand Scrow Complex. It encompassed the St. Olaf Center and the Administration Building in 1959. The center, as it was referred to, has since been repurposed as the Center for Art and Dance, and the Administration Building is now the Hall of Music and Alumni Building. After completion in 59, students would go to the center to eat in the cafeteria, check PO boxes, and lounge in Fireside. Bringing it a little towards the present, going up to the Vietnam War, a memorable incident occurred in the administration building when protests for the Vietnam War were erupting around the country. On Thursday, April 16th, St. Olaf students announced that they would occupy the administration building until the college agreed to terminate the ROTC program on campus. Eventually, a compromise was reached between the students and administration, and the students swept and mopped the halls before they left. On April 30th, the faculty voted, which they agreed upon in the compromise, but they voted 77 to 74 to retain the ROTC program, albeit with slight modifications. Perhaps the most tense moment on campus was during 1970, with the invasion of Cambodia on April 30th and the Kent State shootings on May 4th. This drastically increased tension across the globe, across the country, and on campus. President Sidney Rand, in response to these activities, called for a day of concern, where all normal activities for the day were suspended on May 6th. In this day of concern, an article from the Manitou Messenger captures the mood on campus fairly well. The St. Olaf community will gather again tonight, this time to consider a proposal that would allow students involved in anti-war projects to decide with their professors on one of several alternative ways to terminate the academic work for the semester. All students, faculty, and administration are encouraged to come to the open microphone discussion at 9 p.m. in the women's gym. The procedures will be similar to those of the first community assembly held last Wednesday night. The purpose of the meeting is to give members of the community a chance to voice their opinions on the proposal and to test the will of the assembly in a vote. The proposal will also be brought up in a special faculty meeting on Wednesday. The delegation sent out to Washington by the St. Olaf community will give brief reports tonight before the discussion begins. Appointments originally scheduled for Tuesday, including a meeting with the Secretary of State, William Rogers, were moved up to Monday, enabling the entire delegation, consisting of David Agnew, Jim Stengel, Professor Ed Twett, George Hogginson, and Gary Smaby, to return tonight. So that was a snippet from an article in the Manitou Messenger. And the proposal that they're referring to is a way to end classes early in that spring of 1970. For the students and the professors at the time, it was agreed upon that classes would end early and finals would be optional. If you chose not to take the final, you would just get the grade that you had accumulated thus far, but you were also able to take the final and boost your grade if needed, though many did not choose that option. The intention was for students and faculty to participate in anti-war protests, as the school was openly against the war. Many decided to join the protests. Many decided to go home as well. That has been Walking Through Manitou.
Well, Thorson kind of sounds like an evil guy. I have to say, I'll be a little mad if he gypped me out of $20.
He was extremely generous, you know, for the school. He gave a lot of money. He even found the spot where the school is located, where Old Main is located. But yes, he was rather stringent with seemingly petty dollar amounts. When I was doing some research for this, I thought there's a lot of parallels to what's going on in campus today. I'm sure it's not the same fervor as it was in 1970, but certainly a tense time here on campus. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine graduating and not being excited. You know, if you were graduating in 1970, like, there's one place you're going. You're going to the war. Once you get out of college, you no longer have that college deferment. And I can't even imagine what I would do in that situation. So the next segment is the longest tenured segment on Spooning. It is brought to you by the one and only Calvin Lee.
That's right, folks. This is the part of the show where I take you through a continent's most important sporting events from the past week. Sponsored by Canute, of course. Woof, woof. All right. First, we have the Snooker World Championships from Sheffield, where Ding Junhui beat five-time champion Ronnie O'Sullivan in a big upset, and he is the new Snooker World Champion. So congratulations, Ding. And then, of course, we're taking a rare trip to Major League Baseball this time, where the first ever Lithuanian pitcher, Dovydas Neverauskas, was optioned to AAA by Pittsburgh in order to bring up the first ever African player in the major leagues, Gift Ngope, who spent 8-plus years in the minors before that. You can't make that stuff up, wow. Folks. Two trailblazers interacting, their paths crossing. We also had El Clasico this past weekend between Real Madrid and Barcelona, and it was that man Leo Messi scoring with only seconds on the clock to take Barcelona to a crucial victory. They are now level with Real Madrid at the top of La Liga, but Real Madrid have an all-important game in hand. England Football Awards, they voted for the PFA Player of the Year Award, and that distinction went to French midfielder N'Golo Kanté, formerly of Leicester City and now on Chelsea. He's in line to win two straight Premier League titles with two different teams, and he'd be the first ever to win that distinction. And around the Premier League, we saw the top of the table holding serve as both Chelsea and Tottenham were victorious, as well as Manchester United and Arsenal. So all the big boys holding serve and doing what they needed to do. So the story looks similar with Chelsea still 4 points clear of Tottenham. And Sunderland losing again just to further their demise. That's been the Euro Minute, sponsored by Canute.
And the conclusion of this Euro Minute is brought to you by John and Joy Hagen. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Thanks, John and Joy.
I didn't see it, but I hear that Leo Messi's celly in that game against
Madrid.
Was, like, first class.
Oh, yeah.
I hear it was something extremely special.
Sorry to interrupt.
Very, oh, nope, go for it.
Sorry to interrupt. This next segment, thank you for the Euro Minute, Cal. Much no appreciated. Problem, no this problem. Next segment is called Pulse of Campus. It's a special edition as it is a critical take on the movie Get Out. So welcome to the studio. The mic is right there. Yeah. So first we're going to welcome... you said the names.
Ella.
Yeah. Ella. Welcome to the studio, Ella.
Thanks.
So you recently watched Get Out. I was walking outside the studio and there was just a mass of people coming out. And I was talking. I said to like multiple people, like, where were you guys? And like just... First, I don't know if the movie was like really jarring, but they just like walked right past me, like multiple groups. So thank you for acknowledging my presence, first of all.
I don't blame them.
but what's your take on Get Out?
Immediate reaction is basically that it was just disturbing and not really in... Well, actually, you know, there was like gore and stuff, which was disturbing, but also just like psychologically... you have no idea where that plot is going to go.
Okay. And that was a, was that it? So you're saying that was a bad tactic by the director because it.
Oh, no, it was great.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was an incredible movie. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it was a psychological thriller?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a long episode of Black Mirror is what I kept on thinking.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Great show if you haven't seen it. Okay.
Cool. Kathleen. Yeah. Anything to add from Ella?
Sure, yeah, so that was my second time watching it, oh. So, yeah.
You know it's good.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess, like, watching the crowd, it was kind of freaky that people were, like, laughing whenever he was, like, whenever, like, there was just, like, mad gore was going on. Like, people were getting stabbed, like, blood was going everywhere, and everyone was just like, huh. Whoa, yeah, this is hilarious.
A sadistic crowd tonight.
Yeah, no, because yeah. I was just sitting there in silence like, oh my god, like what the hell is happening? Like, but yeah, no, it was a great movie. Yeah, I definitely recommend seeing it. Yeah.
Kaylee?
Yeah.
I'm so good at
that.
That
was on mic. There's no way that wasn't on mic.
Thank you, Kathleen. Kaylee, you're, you know, we saved you for last because
okay.
You're the best critic in the room. So what was your response to the movie?
I also thought it was really disturbing, especially like the racial things in it and how a lot of people, like white people, were saying very racist things to this man and he was just like, it's normal, like this is how it is. And that was just alarming to watch. And like the first scene was like a black man walking through a suburban neighborhood and like he was the one who was afraid. So it was like flipped on the usual, like a white woman walking through a neighborhood and he was the one who was scared. And so I thought that was really
interesting. Yeah.
Interesting and terrifying. So it was a good movie.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for joining us in studio. I'd love, you know, some final thoughts. If you'd like to shout out to anyone,
mom and dad,
make a contribution on air, pledge some
money to our show.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and have a good weekend.
I think that's our first film review.
Yes.
As if we weren't enough of a variety show, we just break into another.
That's the beauty of Pulse of Campus. You never know what you're going to get. So that was great. We have a couple minutes left here. How did the Euro Minute go?
There's a lot of good talking points, I thought. We covered a lot of ground, okay. I thought.
Leicester still in good shape?
Big continent.
Yeah, they're kind of low mid-table, but safe.
Ooh, okay.
Not a lot of relegation coverage. Anything off the...
Yeah, there's nothing really new in this story.
Just the bad being bad.
The bad stayed bad, basically. Crystal Palace have won like 8 out of the last 10 games, so they are like
what?
American owner, right?
Out of the
I think they have an American owner.
Yes. And yes, I think you're correct about that.
So does that even qualify as the Euro Minute? We just can't cover Crystal Palace anymore.
No Crystal Palace, sorry.
We'll just bleep that out, like say over the air, like, I'm sorry, the current information is actually not European. We apologize.
Euro American Minute. We covered Major League Baseball today, so
And that's a first on the Euro Minute, I think.
Was it the World Snooker Competition?
Oh, the World Snooker Championship.
I looked up snooker. Yeah. It's like pool.
Yeah.
Okay. I was imagining like this.
That's where we'll start.
I was imagining like this crazy like sport like with like you like throw like these huge spears and then you like jump through like rings of fire, but completely the opposite.
I would say snooker is like pool, just like how polo is like soccer. They sort of share some similarities, but not exactly.
So you're like I could get the strategy, or like I can watch this and somewhat understand it.
They both have balls.
Yes,
just one has a lot more.
A lot of sports.
Yeah, a lot more. And but different point values.
Yeah, I don't know.
Different shit.
So in my Facebook meandering, on one random day, just procrastinating, I watched about 30 minutes of Henry's recital. Don't know how that happened.
That's pretty much the whole thing. So.
Awesome. Yeah. And then I also watched about a 12-minute snooker video where he hits every ball in.
Oh,
and I was I was locked in. Okay. I was just cheering for this guy. I knew it was going to happen.
The one where they keep putting that one ball back in the same spot, so you could just kind of like use it.
I didn't know what was going on. I just felt like I was learning snooker while also seeing like one of the best moments ever in sports. Like,
oh, the crowd erupted after that performance. I'd recommend looking that up.
It'd be like your first NBA game, just like watching the Bulls win it all. Yeah. Like Jordan hit a famous shot.
Yeah.
Those English guys are crazy about those like fringe sports, like darts or something.
Darts.
They lose their minds over
that. They banned alcohol in darts. Because guys would rip like a couple beers, and apparently it helps a lot with like stabilizing and like tremors, kind of.
You have to breathalyze. Oh,
really? Yeah.
So it's like a listed like doping offense in darts. And I think I forgot what else it was, but I think it might have been pool. Yeah, just because like how steady you want to be.
Steady. Interesting.
Are you guys ready for a gummy bear review?
Yes. Yeah. What are we calling this segment? Amazing Amazon review?
Yes. And there's a lot. So usually I'm of the taste. I like the one stars where people give a review that's just not relevant to the product. So I was looking at a few one stars earlier, and my favorites are the one like didn't get here. So it's like USPS's fault. It's not like Apple's fault. Or bought it for my grandson. I don't know if he likes it or not. One star. You know, that stuff's just like, it's tough. But the sugar-free bears is just of a totally different variety of your typical one-star review. So I'm just going to read one because you can't explain it without just hearing one. So the subject title, 5 stars. Don't know why.
5 stars?
Yes. I didn't feel the need to plan my weekend around 5 small gummy bears. But if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I didn't feel, so they just copied their subject line to the first line. That's awkward. It began with a noticeable change in the viscosity of my saliva. Within minutes of consumption, my mouth had filled with a thick, foamy slime. Though I was in a cool, climate-controlled room, a salty sweat broke out, and I felt my heartbeat quicken as my body threw itself into fight or flight. This is adrenaline, people. The animal noises broadcasting from my pelvis were an ominous warning of the violent acts that were to follow. I shouldered my way into the bathroom, clawing up my belt, moaning with pain. Give me a sec. The smell came first. It started sweet, almost tangy. This was quickly overpowered by a cloying chemical perfume. Somebody look up cloying. The first volley of feces hit the water like soda cans and nickels. The resulting splash directed, drenching my bottom in foul, brackish water. But this is quickly becoming the least of my worries. After another moment, the noises in my core hit a fever pitch and I was struck rigid with pain. The sweat was now running into my eyes, but the room had turned ice cold and my hands began to spasm. I felt an insidious burning flooding my escape hatch. I gasped. Hot yellow poison began spraying from my rear, changing in pitch and echo as the stream of diarrhea wiped around the toilet bowl. Creating a nightmarish Doppler effect that can only be appreciated in hindsight. This might be the reason for the 5 stars. My legs fell asleep sitting on the toilet. I couldn't have stood up if I wanted to. Wiping was a no-go. Toilet paper simply became a vile paper mache. My hands were quickly soiled. A full-blown shower was needed and all of my towels had to be burned. So happy with my purchase, would recommend to friends and definitely buying again.
That's like that's poetry. Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
And honestly, there's probably what, Cal, like 150, 200 of like these just
they're
filled full with
length.
Prose.
Like, they're like 5 pages long. Yeah.
And there's enough of like the serious, like, guys, this isn't like a drill. That I believe this. So I say, as a podcast, we order some of these. And
if they still make
kind
them.
Of take a pact. Like,
right.
Yeah. And just all eat like 5.
Yeah.
So, and then just report back.
Yeah. Oh, I think if we all have like a really eloquent take
then
on
we could all
experience.
We should all write a review. Yeah. And then
as
this.
We're going through the process. So it's real.
Yeah. This, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll definitely be back from 4
a.m. Like it's kind of like the cookie experience.
The cookie experience. Oh, yes.
Yeah, this morning.
I would say the opposite, but yeah, I wouldn't call this like a beautiful experience, but the pros is.
It, wait, it was 5 stars though, right?
Yeah, 5 stars. Just some of the language. Just
insidious burning. I quite like that.
Shouldered my way into the bathroom. Both hands on the belt.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Amazing. What a way to end.
We have a couple minutes left. Any closing thoughts? Thank you. No, I think that'll be a great addition to the show.
That's a hot segment.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Also, Minnesota United have climbed one spot on computer rankings from 20th to 19th. Don't sleep
on
them.
It's out of 22 for those of you who don't know.
They had an
hit those follow buttons, people.
They had an amazing goal like a couple of weeks ago where it was like a cross in. In like a double header for a goal,
yeah,
or something
that
like
was
that.
Just in our last game, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, it was hot.
And the beauty of MLS, no relegation.
No relegation.
Calvin Lee will not be clipping at your heels.
No, I won't be making light of you on the show every week, talking about your lack of new TV deals and the like. Closing thoughts. Time for that. Fade Mac Ribs.
Enjoyed it. Hope to see you all at the Last Chance stands.
Oh, yeah.
Find love.
How many matches do we have for that?
Matches? Did not count, but I want to say 10. 10, like, real. Not like, oh, my God, I put my boyfriend, LOL, put my best friend.
Okay.
Ha, ha, ha. You put me down, I put you down. I want to feel alone. So, yeah, like, 10, like, solid, like, oh, wow, like, this could be interesting. So I'm glad we could facilitate this and help Dimitri and Tyler stuff their pockets with cash.
Mm-hmm. Wait, they're making money off this?
Yes.
$5 cover. Abomination.
Wait, all... Never mind, we'll talk about that later.
frustrating, I know.
Yeah.
Anybody?
No. I love you all.
Just
thank you. Thanks, Hagens, for supporting us today.
It's been a powerful force in this podcast funding.
Yeah, I'm glad glad to have the full squad back for the show today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while.
We've got one or two more podcasts.
Good question, Dan. Saw you playing guitar in a chemistry class, I think it was. Or
Plant Fizz. Yes. So just a brief explanation is that today we had a waffle party in plant physiology. So most people sign up for like waffle mix or, you know, juice or like syrup. I signed up for entertainment.
Is that all you put down?
Yeah, like I wrote an entertainment.
And everyone else could see that Dan Hagen was coming to entertain. I would have been so nervous. But
So I just played different guitar songs the whole time and sung. So it was pretty fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
An enhancement to an already great class, I've heard.
Indeed. It was great. Thank you again to our listeners. This wouldn't be possible without you. Keep the contributions coming. Keep the shout-outs coming. We appreciate all the feedback.
It is donation season.
It is donation season here on K-Stone.
What's our tally for the show today, listeners-wise?
I'm checking the numbers. It keeps fluctuating, but we're in the low thousands.
Okay.
Oh,
it
okay.
looks like low nice. Thousands.
Some
a little
metrics.
Low. I'm,
yeah.
But next week, we'll pick up the advertisement from nothing to maybe consider.
Everybody
a
just donates
bit.
A dollar. It's a grand for all the expenses we have here.
If everyone in the world just gave
$1.
$1.
$7 billion to one podcast.
You could buy out all the frequencies. All he'd be able to hear.
We just like post pictures
of spooning.
We post pictures of us just like burning money.
Canute
you
as our fearless leader.
Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. Until next time.
Long live spooning.